WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
Many public radio stations are fundraising this week and are using this time for a pledge break. Those of you hearing our show uninterrupted will hear a new special series this week from our rock historian Ed Ward on the American cities that gave us rock and roll. We begin with Los Angeles. By the time the Beach Boys came along to sing hymns to Southern California and its glories, Los Angeles had been a rock and roll city for almost 20 years.
I know that most people think rock and roll started when Elvis Presley walked into the Memphis Recording Service, but the fact is that he was propelled there by a love for black music he'd picked up from records recorded and manufactured in Los Angeles. L.A. was a natural place for the birth of a new popular music in the post-war era. Blacks and hillbillies by the drove arrived there for war work, and the blacks discovered that the jobs weren't segregated and paid everyone equally. Thus, they had money, and they spent some of it on entertainment. Central Avenue became one long strip of nightclubs and restaurants, and its customers demanded modern jazz and sophisticated blues. They got it.
I dreamed of heaven, saw my baby there. I dreamed of heaven, saw my baby there. She had pearly white teeth and coal black wavy hair.
Roy Milton and his Solid Senders were only one of a myriad of bands playing for dancers on Central. There were Jimmy and Joe Liggins, Roy Brown, Wynonie Harris, Lucky Millinder, Earl Bostic, and a million others who faded into obscurity. One of the most successful was Johnny Otis, a Greek-American who'd opened the Barrel House, a club in Watts that was criticized for being too far away from the black community. But Otis knew people were moving out there. He also played the vibes and was a noted talent scout for record companies.
Looking for you, Daddy. I just found you in town. You hit some other woman and you swore that you were mine. What's the matter, Daddy? Don't my kisses satisfy? If I don't thrill you, baby, goodness knows how I've tried. Folks say that.
Among his discoveries was little Esther Phillips, who was barely 14 when she recorded Double Crossing Blues. Competing with this sophistication was more bare-bones music. B.B. King started recording in L.A. early in his career, and then there was the vocal group sound.
Just a fool, a fool in love with you. Earth Angel.
Thanks to DJs like Art LeBeau, this music penetrated the Hispanic parts of town, too, and was much a part of the Mexican-American as African-American sound of the 50s and influenced people like Ritchie Valens. The Southern whites had their scene, too, and while L.A. never usurped Nashville's title as home of country music, Western swing performers like Hank Thompson, Spade Cooley, and Bob Wills, not to mention Hollywood singing cowboys like Roy Rogers and Gene Autry, contributed to the mix. And when white kids in L.A., people like Eddie Cochran, started doing rock and roll, they came out of this scene, or, like Ricky Nelson, used its musicians.
I'm a gonna raise a fuss, I'm a gonna raise a holler. Just to try to earn a dollar. Every time I call my baby, try to get a date, my boss says,
no dice, son, you gotta work late.
Sometimes I wonder what I'm gonna do, but there ain't no cure for the summertime blues.
There was work in the film industry, too, and at one point, the entire New Orleans A-team of studio musicians pulled up stakes and moved to Los Angeles. The 60s started with a uniquely Los Angelian sound.
Let's go surfing now, everybody's learning how. Come on a safari with me.
Surf music could have come from nowhere else, and along with establishing another piece of the California myth, it established the primacy of the electric guitar before the British invasion turned it into the essential rock and roll instrument. The Beach Boys, though, were unique, thanks to Brian Wilson's obsession with sound, an obsession that was inspired and shared by Phil Spector, who used LA studios and studio musicians like no one else had ever done before. The orthodoxy of the hippies, though, held that L.A. was plastic, and few of the counterculture bands that arose there were considered hip. Exceptions were the Byrds, of course, the Doors, and Love, a band that didn't sell too well when they existed, but exerted an influence well past their sales figures. The 70s saw the decline of Los Angeles as a center of creativity. It wasn't until roots-oriented L.A. punkers like X and the Blasters rediscovered the Central Avenue scene that L.A.'s place in early rock and roll history was secure.
Ed Ward is a writer living in Berlin. His series on the American cities that gave us rock music continues tomorrow with a look at New Orleans. I'm Terry Gross, and this is Fresh Air.